drink it in, man.
Touchdown, Detroit Lions! Cornbread! Cornbread! Cornbread!
Drink it in, man.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Detroit Kool-Aid. Detroit Kool-Aid. Drinkers, drink it in, everybody. Drink it in, man. Side of cornbread.
Cornbread.
Make it a double.
Cornbread.
I'm your host, Eric Oakley, right here on the Detroit Kool-Aid cast. You guys know what it is. Talking Detroit Lions. Here on the show, and normally I have my co-host Chops. He's a last minute switch here. Kind of life's got him busy running around like crazy, so I kind of changed up some things and gonna just give you guys some Lions content here, fill up that glass of Detroit Kool-Aid and hit on some topics and have some fun here. So what I got on the docket is I want to talk more about our rookies. I've just really liked a lot of the things that I've heard and seen and read, since the draft. So I want to talk about that a little bit more. Do a little bit of a deep dive with the UDFA, the undrafted free agents. I've been jumping into some fantasy drafts. So I want to tell you guys about some PFF dynasty fantasy rankings in regards to the Lions. I think you'll be surprised at some of the players that they have in those top dynasty ranks, which is always nice. So when it comes to offense and scoring points and all those things you look for. And tell you guys a little bit about, we got rookie minicamp coming up. We got some other minicamps, some OTAs. We've got some mandatory minicamps. So talk a little bit about that, as well as just do some gimmickry, some hype, get you guys excited about this football team. Is it football season yet? It's not yet, but I just cannot wait. I know a lot of you can't either because we have a heck of a football team coming back. Lots to be excited about and just can't wait to get it going. So let's not mess around at all on the pod. Let's get into this. Before I talk about the rookies, I'm actually going to do this PFF Dynasty ranking. So I just pulled this up real quick. We have a top five Dynasty ranked football player. You guys know who he is.
Amon-Ra.
That's right. ARSB. Amon-Ra St. Brown, number four, only behind Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, and CeeDee Lamb when it comes to PFF Dynasty Fantasy Football Rankings, number four wide receiver. And you don't have to look too far down the list because at number nine, no, it's not that quarterback out in L.A. or hashtag JMOFast. Number nine is a multidimensional, positionless, elite weapon. Jahmyr Gibbs checking in at number nine, RB3 on their list. Right behind him, another Lion. Number 10, Sammy Biscuits. Sam Laporta for all the Laporta supporters out there. Absolutely unbelievable for the Lions to have three top 10 dynasty fantasy type offensive players. As we move our way down the list, you've got Demo checking in at number 90 on the list. I know Chops isn't on the show, but it's Demo, right? It's not, how does he say it? D-Money. Steemo. Demo at 9-0. As we go down the list, number 114 is hashtag JMO Fast. I expect him to be climbing up that list quite a bit here in 2024. And then you got Chops' boy, the hashtag golf train, checking at 121, quarterback number 20. Now, I know Chops would say that's disrespect. He would tell people that if you think Jared Goff is QB 20, I mean, this is what he'd probably say to you.
I don't want your Bula Bula support when it comes to Jared Goff. You don't get to join the Goff train. You're off, bro. You're off.
I think 20 is a bit low as well, whether it's fantasy or reality, the way this guy's played. He's definitely kind of a top 12-ish quarterback, but you guys know the wobbly spirals, some of the other athleticism. Sometimes it's still TBD if you ask me, but we'll see. But I hope he plays well. So that just kind of jumped out to me. I just wanted to throw that at you when it comes to fantasy and the Detroit Lions. Let me talk about these main rookies for a bit because, you know, when it comes to Terrion Arnold being picked at 24, like, that was just one of those situations where need, best available, value, all those things came together. I mean, this kid's a young player, just couldn't have been a better culture fit. He's got a lot of swagger. He wants to be great. You know, he has that corner mentality. It just... everything's so excellent. The more and more I read up about Terrion Arnold, talking about wanting to wear a gold jacket and getting with his teammates. So, like, the thing I like so much about Terrion Arnold is his talent, but also he has a certain star quality to him that I really like, where he's not afraid of the spotlight. He has a big personality, but it's not that diva personality that's going to take away from the team. It's going to empower the team with what he brings to the table. So I really like that about this kid. Just seems like such a positive influence in the locker room and on the football field at a position we've needed for a long time. And I think that's going to be tremendous. And the best part, I guess, too, is the compliment with Enos Rake Straw. Let's get it right, people. Rake Straw Jr. Because as big of a personality and as much of a star as I think Terrion Arnold is as much of a DAWG I think Rake Straw is. And that means this guy isn't going to say much. You aren't going to notice him in the media, but you're going to notice him on the football field. And he's going to be grimy. He's going to be tough. He's going to get his hands on the football. He's going to tackle. And Terrion Arnold's going to do a lot of those same things. Don't get me wrong. Terrion Arnold is not a DAWG. He definitely is. But Rake Straw just has that in spades, as well as a more low-key personality that I think is going to translate really well to this football team also. So I couldn't be happier with the two people that we drafted. Now, on draft day, you heard me say, you know, I was wanting to take Jonah Ellis and not always a biggest fan of the double dip. Really didn't love the double dip because the Lions had already put so many resources. I knew that we had to sort of fix our coverage in our corners, but we traded for Carlton Davis. I mean, we went and got Amik Robertson. We brought back some of the same cats we've had. And then to go double dip with two picks in the first round and the second is a lot of resources to one spot trying to get it fixed. So I think it is fixed. I think it'll be so much better, but it was a lot to put into the cornerback and the DB position. But when it comes to these guys play on the field, but what I've read about them off the field, you've heard all the stories, you've seen all the positivity. I think there was a story about Rake Straw, you know, writing a letter, I think it was, again, fourth grade, kind of claiming what he was going to do. And like I said, you've seen a lot of the things about Terrion Arnold. That's great. So those top two picks are, like, sometimes you want to be as clean as possible. You want to fill positions of need. You want top-end, like, football players, not always just talent. And then what they did with Giovanni Manu, to me, even though, like, he wasn't ranked and I was really upset at the time, the reason I've come to like that more and more is just because of the bet on traits. And this guy's a great guy off the field as well. He fit really well with Penei Sewell and the rest of the O-line locker room. But you just cannot coach people up to be 6'7", 6'8", 350 pounds, be able to move, be able to be nasty. You watch his highlights. Yes, he's playing against lesser competition, but the things that you kind of can see that, you know, he should be able to do against whoever is when he latches onto you, he tries to bury you and put you in the ground. He uses his, you know, height, weight, whatever it may be, to get after people from a physicality standpoint. You know, of course, there are going to be technique things that he has to figure out and get better at, and I sure hope he can, but you just can't coach him that tall, you can't coach him that big, and you can't coach him with arms that long or to move the way this guy does. So I think it's a really nice bet on traits. As far as Vaki goes, this is just one of those guys that I don't, you know, you can tell me all day long, oh, he's a, you know, what'd they say? Like almost like a 20th, 25th ranked safety. This guy is a fourth round, high end character quality football player. I know that gets overused when in doubt, when national media people don't know what they're talking about or have nothing better to say. They go, but he's just a real good football player. I mean, Sione Vaki will do anything you need him to, whether it comes from running down on kicks, to returning kicks, to running the football, to playing defense, to hitting people, to blitzing. And you almost can't put a price on that. You really can't. There's so many fourth-round picks that just wash out because they're either all they can do is special teams or they can't do special teams and they don't, you know, pan out based on talent and they don't have the grit, the football player mentality to latch on. So that's another reason why I've so grown to love Vaki is I just feel like he's going to be a culture guy. He's going to be a fan favorite, and it's going to be because everything he's doing on the field, whether it not be flashy or exciting, is going to be productive, consistent, and is going to be just exactly what you want from a team player and a guy that just can do so many different things. I think that's why they took him, just that ultimate kind of Swiss Army knife. I'm not saying this guy's going to run for 500 yards. I'm not saying he's going to play all these defensive snaps or return big on kicks, but I feel like he's just going to be a yes sir, no sir kind of guy and do all the right things. So I love that about him. And then just when you work your way down the list, we talked about it a little bit with Wingo. He's a captain mentality. He's a locker room guy. He's a hard worker. I don't need a guy that's fits all the size profiles if he doesn't love football or if he's going to, you know, half give it half effort, you know, things like that, you know, taking a late round pick. And then even with my guy Mahogany, like, again, we don't have all the medicals and this and that and the other, but I'm pretty sure he's not going to wash out due to these random medical issues based on how he played in college and the fact that he's just a nasty interior offensive lineman. So people talking about his legs are longer and he's got these knees, got this foot. So it's like, I see this guy just being a mauler in a phone booth and a nasty, even if he's just a depth player, even if he's a swing interior player that can play both guard positions, that's very valuable. A pick 210. So, and adding that nasty. And you could say, oh, well, Logan Stenberg had nasty. What did he ever do? Yeah, he didn't do anything. But Christian Mahogany has a nice resume, a nasty demeanor, and also just a sense of value with that pick that I think you're going to get a lot of good things out of. So I just can't say enough about the type of people the Lions got. When they did bet on traits, I feel like it was aggressive but also warranted. And then you also got football players and nasty mentality. And they added two areas that are important to them, which is O-line. Guys that will do anything for the team, DBs, you know, instead of just putting all these high-end resources into like fancy wide receivers and tight ends. And like we've been able to supplement that at other times with this regime, but now they're doubling down on trenches, they're doubling down on O-line, they're doubling down on their defensive backfield, and they feel good everywhere else. So I feel really good about that as well. Let's go ahead and do this. I'm going to keep this show a little bit tighter. Sometimes I wonder, you guys like the 30-minute shows? You like the hour-long shows? You like the two-hour shows? We don't know. And a lot of times we try to button the shows up into a package that you can listen to on your drive to work, working out at the gym, you know, at home, just before you head off to bed, whatever it may be. But a lot of times we got to admit, we think we're going to do 20, 30 minutes plus, and we end up doing, you know, 45 to an hour plus, and it's just the way it goes when we start talking football. But without Chops on here, I think I'm going to take commercial break, get our great sponsors in, come back and talk about these UDFAs, get you some of those camp dates, hoop you up on some hype for this football team and why they're going to be so exciting in 2024 and beyond, and then get up out of here for this episode, as my voice was a little bit rough before we got going today, and got some other things rolling as well. So let's keep it a little tighter today, maybe hit that 30-minute mark, whatever it may be, but I'm going to jump out of this first segment, get our sponsors in. Please listen to those: Reality Sports Online, Fantasy Football Flavor, or Fantasy Football Fellowship, All 22, PFF, Spotify, gosh, all the other great sponsors. I mean, you probably hear so many different brand names and sponsors when you listen to iTunes or Spotify. They all really help out the show, and you guys keep this thing rolling. Whether you donate to the show, you listen, you share it with a friend, it all really helps out. So everybody, let's take a quick break, and I'll be right back right after this. All right, everybody. This goes out to my fantasy football fans out there. Now, you probably heard about Reality Sports Online, the most powerful fantasy sports platform where owners can build and manage their fantasy team like a real NFL general manager. But the question is, have you tried it? I mean, we're talking free agency, multi-year contracts, rookie drafts, multi-team trades. You could put franchise tags on guys. It's as close as you're going to get to being an NFL GM. But do you think it sounds complicated? It's not. I'm here to tell you, it's the best thing about Reality Sports Online is it's just more fun than your normal fantasy league, but it doesn't take barely any more time. After all this, are you still not sure? I mean, come on now. You can test your general manager skills by going over to Reality Sports Online, call it RSO. Please go check out realitysportsonline.com right now. Kool-Aid drinkers are back. Thank you so much for listening to the Detroit Kool-Aid Cast. It really means the world. As we always say, you know, appreciate all the loyal listeners who've been here since day one. I know over the draft season, and we have Logan Lamrandier and Joey Christopoulos on, and different guests. That's always something you guys really enjoy, but most of it is just really fun for jump on here solo, talk Lions football, or have some of my good buddies on here. We just talk ball and have fun. So try not to take ourselves too seriously and have a lot of fun talking Lions football. Obviously, it's great to have a winning football team, and the future is just so bright. So, you know, so a lot of times when I do these solo shows, you know, you're not going to get as many gimmicks, sound bites, whatever it may be, just because I'm trying to talk and work through material. But hopefully I've given you guys some good stuff today. And just before we get rolling, I just want to shout out everybody that's doing the Detroit Kool-Aid Cast Fantasy League. Really appreciate everybody that joined that. That's a 20-team league, 20 players per team. So fun to see how people build their rosters, because everyone goes into it of just like, oh, a fun league, you know, but the competitive juices really start flowing, and it's not your office Yahoo league with 8 to 10 teams. You really got to dig for talent, and that's fun. So appreciate everybody in that, as well as a lot of the listeners of this show are on, you're in my Reality Sports Online leagues, whether it be my 32 teamers or my 8 teamer. Like I said, a lot of you guys are in this sleeper league that we're doing. Some of you guys are in my ESPN fantasy leagues. As you can tell, I love fantasy football. I love the Detroit Lions, and I love my Michigan Wolverines, and so much more. But we try to keep it just to that, those basic things here on the show. I don't tell you about how the weather is or my personal life, what's going on. Try to talk ball, laugh, and have some fun. But appreciate everybody that's been doing those fantasy leagues. Those have really been fun, and those will continue over the next few weeks. So appreciate that. Let me jump into these undrafted free agent rookies that the Lions added. So I got an article here from Pride of Detroit. They did a nice job breaking down these rookies. So I grabbed this, I read it through quickly. I just highlighted some things. I'll kind of give you guys the nuts and bolts of this. The Lions added 15 UDFAs to their roster. And they also selected 6 players in the draft. So, you know, One thing they mentioned in this article was Brad Holmes, you know, in the past, he sort of bet on traits, or he's went and got players that, like, you know, were surprisingly undrafted, or, you know, he dabbled, you know, we'll take a position here, position of need here. Hey, we didn't get a receiver. Let's add a receiver or two. What he did this year, which was intriguing, and Pride of Detroit pointed this out, is he kind of did more of like attack a couple positions in bunches. So he took three players that primarily played center, three hard-hitting in-the-box type DBs, and two slot receivers who are former quarterbacks. So this is a little bit of a different approach from Holmes, but kind of intriguing. And, you know, the main players that I want to focus on, we'll just hit them first. So Isaiah Williams, he's a slot receiver from Illinois, 5'9", 182 pounds. They gave him a $15,000 signing bonus and $225K in a contract. And what's intriguing about this player, so he spent the first two seasons, you know, kind of as a quarterback type player. Then he moved to slot receiver. And what's crazy is when you look at his numbers, I'm just going through them right here. The number that jumped out, 14 touchdowns, 214 catches, 2,304 yards, but 14 touchdowns, and also returned punts as well. So I feel like this guy is a very intriguing from, you know, what he brings to the table, but also with some of those numbers he's actually produced, you know, with after doing the position switch. He's not going to wow you with his 40 time or some of his other numbers, but the fact that he's just a two-time captain, he's tough, competitive, I really see this guy having a chance to make the roster. Excuse me. And just like, I don't know, just those 14 TDs jump out, and what he can do from a slot receiver perspective is intriguing. As I kind of work my way through this, another guy that I had sort of on my late day targets board for the Lions. Yes, this may be because his name was more WWE, but you know, he does have some negatives about this player as well. You guys know what it is.
Hey, listen, Ohio State sucks.
Steel Chambers from that school down south. You guys know what it is.
Ohio State is vanquished.
Yeah, they were vanquished the last few years. But this guy, I mean, former running back, 6'1", 226. You know, he just got like those read and react skills you look for against the run. Kind of a zone player more than a man player. Can play multiple facets, special teams. To me, they've had Pittman in that role. He seems like he could fill that if need be. The intriguing part, or if this guy can make the roster or not, will probably be based on how the Lions view this new special teams kickoff, coverage, whatever they're going to do. They have kept a lot of linebackers for that type of stuff in the past, but if they feel they can do it differently, you know, maybe they don't. But Steel Chambers is a guy that can run and hit you. He's got the size, athleticism you look for. Like I said, with that former running back mentality, so those guys usually turn into nice linebackers if they're willing to be physical, and this guy is. So that's intriguing to me. This next guy was a guy I saw late in a lot of the PFF mocks that I did, and that's the I don't even know how you say this last name, Kingsley Igukun. He's a center from Florida, and you know, for me, I was looking for that guard center, but more so a center that could kind of be groomed under Frank Ragnow. Now, Kingsley here with Florida wasn't really a guy that I ever took, but he was have some interesting things about him. 6'3.5", 304 pounds. You know, they gave him a $20,000 signing bonus and a $225K contract. You know, he's a draftable type player with a late type grade, kind of in that, you know, 250 to 275 type ranking. Now, what I found intriguing about him, he's viewed more as a, you know, basically nearly all at center the last few years at Florida, 1,900 snaps in total, more of a technician than a power player. His leadership, scrappiness, and desire to compete will give him a chance to stick in the league is what Pride of Detroit has written here. You know, people keep trying to usher Frank Ragnow out the door, but I really don't think that you need to do that at this point. But this is a player that could find a role. I think right now they're okay just to have Glasgow be that, pivot player, guard, center if need be. But you do need to groom a young guy there. And like I said, the Lions did bring in multiple centers to try to see if they can maybe find somebody that fits that type of role. I don't see any of these guys really making the roster, but Kingsley kind of intrigued me. This next one, Pride of Detroit seemed to say like, oh, you know, he doesn't seem like he'd have any way to break the roster, but I'm intrigued by Isaac Reck, tight end from BYU. 6'5", 248 pounds, move type tight end, meaning like catch the football, block you in space, create some yak. But what jumped out to me when I was reading this through is this dude had a RAS score of 2.43. I mean, normally when you see those RAS scores, they're like 9.7, 9.9, you know, 8 point something is like a bad grade. So the fact that this guy is 2.43 is really, you know, tough. But he was productive, you know, at times in college. He's a move type player. The one thing I always want to, you know, warn people about is the minute that we get a player, whether it be running back, tight end, receiver, a lot of Lions fans think, oh, we're good. We're set for the next decade. Like, no need for depth, no need for reinvestment in those positions. And Sammy Laporta has been so great, don't get me wrong, but we still have hopes for James Mitchell. We still hope that, you know, Brock Wright, they obviously gave him a nice contract if he can be more than a blocking type player. But if you could still add another tight end, whether it be a catching, a blocker, or a mix of the two. Sorry, like I told you, my voice is a little bit rough today. That's intriguing. So Isaac Reck, R-E-X, is a tight end from BYU that intrigues me. Who else did I highlight here on this little read-through that I did? Nate Lynn, edge defensive lineman from William & Mary. The main thing that jumped out to me about him is the Lions actually used a top 30 visit on this player. So even though Pride of Detroit seems to indicate that he's, needs a lot of polish and, you know, may not be fit for kind of that NFL type player that you look for. I mean, they note him as a high effort edge type lineman. And the fact that they brought him in does say that they do like him in different ways. So that jumped out to me of wanting to highlight him. And then as I worked my way through, James Turner, kicker from Michigan. You know, a lot of Lions fans are just clamoring over and over again about the kicker. Oh, we need somebody better than Badgley. Oh, we can't go for it every time on fourth down. Get the guy from the Panthers. He kicks 60-yarders indoors. I feel like Brad Holmes has shown you time and time again that he's just going to play roundabout with the kicker and see what he gets. And you're going to hate it sometimes. Other times you're going to love it. Most of the time you're not going to even notice it because Dan Campbell is going to go for it every time. But James Turner, you know, he's, you know, 80 to 90% it seems like on most field goals, makes all his extra points basically, you know, pretty good from distance and limited attempts. I mean, I'm not writing this guy in as our kicker or Bates or whoever, but just a couple more kicks at the can seems like the right thing to do at that position. And when I go through the list here of this, so the other positions that they added, if I just rifle through my paper here that I got in front of me, Jalen Calhoun is a slot player from Duke that they have as a UDFA. Brian Hudson, center from Louisville. You've got an edge outside backer type player from Ole Miss. Deron Gilbert is a linebacker safety type player from Northern Illinois. You've got another safety hard hitter type from Wake Forest. Jalen Garnes, G-A-R-N-E-S. Lauren Strickland, safety from Ball State. Norris Morris, just like Raymond Khalif Raymond, or somebody hit me up. I think it was JP1077 hit me up with, we can adjust the sound bite to this. The DJ, that's my DJ, the DJ, yeah. Well, that's what it used to be. He told me now it's got to be go CJ. That's my CJ because we brought back CJ Moore off his gambling suspension. So that is what it is. But Morris Norris, Nickelback from Fresno State as well. And Hogan Hayton, long snapper, Idaho. Yes, I said, I said Hogan Hayton. You guys know I'm looking for the drop here, right? Hogan.
Well, let me tell you something, brother.
Hayton, long snapper from Idaho. So, I mean, again, I could go into some other details. You know, most of these guys aren't going to make the roster. Usually the Lions end up with one, two players that maybe are either on that bubble, make it, or make the practice squad. I just wanted to hit on them because it kind of rounds out that draft class. You know what I mean? We're also hyped about this draft class. You're always looking for diamonds in the rough. So I thought I'd rumble through those a little bit as we're still kind of in draft hysteria right now. And let me see. Let me see here. I think I pulled it up from the Sporting News. So the Lions put out their camp-type dates. No training camp-type dates. Those usually come out in June or whatever. But rookie mini camp, the first time you see these rookies, and we'll get interviews and we'll hear a bunch of bula bula and a bunch of hype and a bunch of Kool-Aid about who's tearing it up and who looks the part and who's going to do this and do that. Drink it in, everybody. You guys know what it is.
Drink it in, man.
Cornbread.
That's going to be May 10th and 12th. So you guys here in the pod, it's probably the 8th, 9th, whatever it is, the next day. Lions rookies will not be in town. They'll be in camp, which will be fun to see. I'm curious to see like if they're going to go with the old practice unis. They got the new versions of the practice unis out there at 8, the Allen Park headquarters. You've got OTA off-season type workouts May 21st to the 23rd, May 29th through the 31st, June 10th to June 12th. And OTAs are usually just a bunch of workouts, running around, you know, a bunch of nothing. But you do get to see the vets and the rookies kind of mingle, which is cool. And you have seen a lot of pictures coming out about the vets have been here, like lifting weights, throwing the ball around a little bit outside, which is always nice to see. Just that little taste of football here in early May. And then there's a mandatory mini camp, June 4th to June 6th. That's where the vets, the rookies, I don't know that they have pads at that point, but you do kind of get the shells and the shorts and the tees and get out there and do some things against each other, have a little bit more competition and get to see a little bit more football at that point. So those are kind of some dates to look forward to. Again, we'll all be looking forward to training camp. I always tell you guys, if you get a chance, take your kids, get a day off, go down to Allen Park, soak up the sun, watch the Lions in training camp, get some autographs. Hang out outside, hit up a food truck, talk to Danny Rogers, get in an autograph line, whatever it may be. That's always really fun. And the NFL schedule, rumor innuendo is that it was coming out May 9th, which would be this Thursday when you're hearing this. But I also saw on Pro Football Talk that, you know, they were thinking more next week. So that'd be more like maybe the 15th or so, somewhere in that range. What, next Thursday after this would be the 16th. So it's looking more like that because the NFL, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, they would have already pubbed it up if they were going to do a Thursday schedule release. So I would think next week as well, probably late this weekend or early next week, you'd hear a big promo. And then every day you'll see like, hey, Thursday NFL schedule release. Then you'll see the leaks start coming out on the old Twitter X machine and all that. But yeah, everybody, that's what I got. Like I said, I'm going to keep this show a little bit shorter, just a 30-minute type show for you. Commercials included, and please hit me up on Twitter if you want to talk fantasy football, Michigan Wolverines, Lions, any other sports topics in between. Life's pretty crazy for me, for Chops, for all my buddies, for all the great people out there doing sports media, but we definitely try to get at you when we can, having fun on all those rookie drafts that I'm doing, and big time fantasy drafts as they come up. So thank you everybody again for doing those. And yeah, that's what I got this week on the Detroit Kool-Aid Cast. So everybody, drink it in, double-sided cornbread. I'll catch you next time right here on the Detroit Kool-Aid Cast. Take care, everybody. We're out.
Pack the- drink it in, man.